We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And welcome in. You got Molly and Hanley and Barry Rosner sitting in for Mike Mulligan today. Good morning, Mr. Rosner. How are you doing?
Hello, Brian Hanley.
You're a little weird at times. I've known you a long time.
Nothing but long time weird guy. What is this about Ben Zobrist being strange and weird? And this is news to me.
Well, it was Molly's take. We were talking about the Ken Rosenthal report that the Cubs are having internal conversations and reaching out to teams, not necessarily for the July trade deadline, but a waiver wire type deal. Wait to see who's out there and available. Curtis Granderson, Adam Jones.
Jacob DeGrom. Oh, no, that's not what you're talking about.
They need
about.
A David Ross type, according to Ken Rosenthal. Guys, I talk to people and they say, they need David Ross. Guys.
He's had every angle on the Manny Machado thing for the last... There's an update on that today, too.
Going back
2 months, he's had Manny Machado on every team in baseball.
Kansas City is now the top team likely to get him. Molly said,
makes perfect sense.
We're talking about, is there a leadership void? I mean, if you buy the report, it begs the question, why do they believe they're lacking leadership when you think of guys like Anthony Rizzo and... And Molly just volunteered the Ben Zobrist, who would be certainly the oldest guy in the clubhouse, right? Uh-huh. He's not a leader type necessarily. He's a weirdo.
He's weird. So they would like some leadership that isn't weird.
Can you be a weird leader? Yes, you can.
Sure.
Sure you can. Actually.
Look around. I think this is just me, Brian. I think my approach would be, find someone who can throw a baseball.
That would bring us back to DeGrom, who had a pretty good outing again last night.
That's
just sick, isn't it?
It's way past comical, and for the New York press, guys you and I have known for 35 years, even for those guys, this is painful to watch. Like, they can't even make fun of it anymore.
No.
They feel bad for Jacob DeGrom.
Right.
Not only he can't get a run, he can't get a win.
No.
He can't get...
Sub-2 ERA, 5 wins, 100 innings. And
every game's exactly the same. Right. You know what's going
to
happen.
I mean, you would do him a favor to trade him, and you might actually get the organization back on track to... How's that Mick Callaway Manager of the Year campaign coming?
Yeah, well, when they were 13-1, that was going well.
Before the season, he was like,
oh, really?
He was the boutique pick. I'm like, what? He's going to manage the Mets, right?
You know, it should be. It should be Jim Riggleman. We can get back to that in just a moment. But although they took an unbelievable beating last night, did the Reds. But, here's the thing. That organization is so fouled up, and really it has been for a long time. It's from ownership down, there's nothing surprising about it. But... they're not going to get this right. They're not going to get it right. The Mets can't get it right. So I don't think they'll trade him because I don't think they even know what to ask for or how to make sure they get the right thing.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll do it.
So that's why they won't do it?
Of course they should. Of course they should. And if they're talking to the Cubs, I mean, I'd ask them for 3 guys off their major league roster, which, of course, the Cubs can't do because they need those guys win the World Series. But, I'd hold somebody up. Absolutely. And you could. I mean, team control and salary and everything else absolutely hold somebody up. I just don't think they'll get it right.
You know really who also had a pretty good performance last night? Carlos Rodon.
Very good last night.
Yeah.
Very good.
starting to look the part, right? I mean, you're starting to have an expectation that he goes out there and he's going to shut teams down. And
well, I would say, 3 of his last 4, pretty good, although one of those 3, a high walk total. Look, this... We talk about this a lot on Hit and Run. The narratives that come and go with the White Sox and come and go quickly with the White Sox are really extraordinary because you're talking about a lot of really young players who are really unpredictable. That's what young players do. I mean, for the most part, they're not Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber and the guys who came up and were extraordinary with the Cubs. Usually young players are going to be very unpredictable. They're going to be very inconsistent. They're going to be very hard to figure out. And you're not going to know the first day that they get here whether they're going to be great or not. Whether they're going to be great, whether they're going to be okay, whether they're going to be bust. But the reaction to a lot of White Sox guys this year has been superstar bust today, superstar, and then bust tomorrow.
Sure.
Superstar today, bust tomorrow. And over and over and over again. And this was even the case with Rodon before he got here. Well, you can't, you know, who knows what he's going to be. He's no good. He can't stay healthy. This procedure he had on his shoulder was not that big a deal. It really wasn't that big a deal. It's just something that had affected him for a long time.
He drafted in 2014, right? Mm-hmm. And at that time, some teams said, well, guess what? He pitched quite a bit at the college level. And some teams shied away from that because they were not sure that you weren't going to pay a price for that moving along.
And maybe you will, but this wasn't one of those things. This was just, it wasn't rotator, wasn't labrum, wasn't ulnar collateral ligament kind of thing. It was just one of those things where they go rough it up. They go in there, they rough it up, they get it to bleed. It helps the healing process. It wasn't really anything serious, but nevertheless, there was this feeling like, well, he's a bust. He's never going to make it.
Or he's never going to be available enough to be anything.
Right. Right. Which was, it's just a lot of overreaction. And I imagine that'll be the case now to what was an extraordinary performance last night. Certainly has the stuff, Brian.
7 1/3 innings, 3 hits, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, no runs allowed. And that's what you hope it looks like moving forward. And the White Sox find a way to win a game, and that's good. It's a feel-good for everybody. Cubs took a long time to lose a game and went through the bullpen. Good thing the All-Star break is coming because that bullpen pretty much on fumes. Mike Montgomery, Jed Hoyer almost prenched it yesterday during the interview, saying, basically Mike Montgomery's going to have a rough outing here at some point. And he had a rough inning. Chief, he only had one rough inning. The first inning.
Whoa.
Babe Ruth had a bad day once in a while. But, I mean, he settled down after the fact, and the Cubs' offense came back. And then next thing you know, you find yourself in the 13th inning, and you're down to a rookie.
You know why, don't you? Because it's getaway day.
Yeah, of course. I tell you what, I was thinking, I was watching that, too.
Tell me, as a former beat guy, and you can't sit there and think, all right, let's see, it was a 12:45 local start.
That's it. You've got an off day in San Diego the following day.
Out of the park at 6:15. I can get a 7:30 flight down to San Diego,
You've got your suitcase right behind you.
Yeah, you're dragging your bags through the ballpark.
I'm watching that yesterday, and I don't know which inning that struck me. I'm like, wow, it's getaway day. And you got an off day in San Diego tomorrow. And the players, I'm thinking, are the players thinking the same thing? Because thankfully for them, it's a short trip from San Francisco to San Diego.
It depends, Brian, on what exactly you have planned for the evening.
Yes.
Some guys,
I know,
very, very upset. Some guys very upset.
Some guys looking,
the game.
Jesus, it's taking a long time.
Some guys looking up at the.
Hey, why don't you get up there swinging? All right, let's go. Whatever he's throwing, whatever he's offering, you're offering it.
And being that it's San Diego, I'm thinking, probably some guys very upset.
Oh, very upset.
On the other hand, some guys.
It's a quick flight. They should have still got there in reasonably good shape. And with the off day, be able to sleep in a little bit. Joe likes sleeping in. He doesn't want anyone.
When we used to go from, you were on the Cubs beat for 1 year, 1993. When we used to go from the West Coast to Vegas.
Yeah.
For a day.
We'd get to Los Alamitos. You sit in the sports book. Two guys lost all the monies at Los Alamitos.
And then we're watching Australian horse racing.
Well,
and they're running
it?
The wrong way.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, they're running the wrong way.
And it's kind of a, kind of symbol of your life.
We used to exactly. Yeah. We used to do the occasional trip from San Diego to Vegas or San Francisco to when we had a day off.
It's
when
in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean
that's why God created airplanes.
That's right.
We have lots of baseball conversation. Ozzie Guillen's going to stop by, and Gordon Whitmire will check in also from the Chicago Sun-Times. Have lots of time to take your calls. 312-644-6767 is the number. And Texone already busy. I walk in, and one of the first texts I see is a inquiry whether the do you think there's any major upside for the Bulls taking on Melo's contract? What?
I thought it was a terrible idea. What was that, 4 years ago?
Derek wouldn't show up for the steak dinner?
Yeah. I thought it was a terrible idea.
They had the Melo up on the marquee outside the United Center, they put up the temporary electronic sign. You know, we welcome Melo. Melo should be here. And
would you like to be sitting on that, right?
I mean, good Lord. The Bulls and Melo? Why? But anyway,
because it's funny.
We love your text. Yeah, if you're looking for some sort of sideshow, 670-11-67011. I don't think we'll be kicking around the Melo to the Bulls. We do have some Bulls talk.
I think we should.
In the 5 at 5. We have Bulls question.
I think we should kick around the Melo.
All right. That's all yours. Your dime, your dance floor. You got Molly and Hanley with Rosner sitting in on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Did anything good come out of Wednesday's Cubs defeat?
I would say, Brian Hanley, that Mike Montgomery rebounding from an ugly first inning.
Oh, adversity?
After, four or five really bad starts in a row, I would say his four innings he pitched after that were good. The four hits in four innings, scoreless, all scoreless. I would say that was a positive because you were just about at the point where you were wondering if you're going to be able to continue to go with him, although you have no other options, so that's a problem. And, of course, Chris Bryant returning and hitting a home run and looking healthy, although, and you know, tell me if I'm splitting
weird
hairs. Tell me if I'm splitting hairs here. I thought the final play of the game was perhaps a catchable ball that he did not go hard to the wall on. And if he didn't, and it had anything to do with his shoulder, then I don't blame him.
Playing outfield.
Yeah, and he hasn't, I'm sure, hasn't been out in the outfield for a while.
Especially that outfield. That's kind of a tricky.
Well, when a guy comes off the DL, that's what you want to do is throw him in a position not familiar. Yeah. And that's good management.
No, you could just play anybody anywhere, anytime, any minute, Kevin. What do you know about managing, Mr. Manager? Any minute, anytime, anywhere.
Joe said that it was, Tyler Chatwood was going to be out playing somewhere in the next inning as Rizzo was pitching.
Iowa? No, you can't.
Yeah, but to your point, I don't know if it was catchable, but
he sort of slowed down.
It looked awkward. Yeah,
he slowed down just a little
bit. There wasn't
a
whole lot of smooth to it, but it was Chris Bryant playing, first game back from the shoulder, as Kevin just said, and throw him out there, and you're trying to win a game and trying to keep the series win streak alive.
If I'm being unfair, though, I apologize.
Okay. So what was anything good come out of it?
Yeah, I would say Montgomery's final four innings. The bullpen terrific again, and Bryant offensively back in the flow. So yeah, there was some good yesterday.
Yeah, I'll throw James Norwood in there too for a guy kid making his debut and a couple of punch outs, 99, 98, looking good. Contreras, it was interesting to see how he handled him and threw an arm around him at one point going off the mound .
You're going to have to find guys, whether it's Norwood, whether it's Rosario, you name it. You're going to have to find some guys that maybe weren't quite household names.
Yeah, they've been doing it too. I mean, Bass, Farrell.
The Des Moines shuttle has really been prolific.
Get used to it because with this starting rotation, as bad as it's been, and with the way Joe likes to use the bullpen, you're going to need a lot of guys.
Yeah, you're going to need more all-star breaks between now and the end.
Poor Steve Cishek, he pitches every day. He can't brush his teeth with his right hand. So, you're going to have to.
He used to throw overhand.
At the start of the year. Yeah. Very nice, Brian Hanley. At the start of the year, he was throwing overhand.
Here's what I didn't really care for yesterday. It's the old Cubs bugaboo that this, it was turned back the clock game where all the runs came from home runs. And they were 0-7, runners in scoring position. And, some of the warts that we complained about and worried about early on in the season. And Joe Maddon, Captain Sunshine, manager, Mr. Always, glass overflowing, not half full.
Yeah.
He even said you can't start, the offense can't shut down anymore in second half of games. The losing record in one-run games, 10-15, he said that's got to change moving forward. And normally it does. We know the second half records under Joe Maddon usually very good, and they hit the accelerator and go. But he said that's a little concerning, and it is. I mean, they have 3 walk-off wins, and they have 6 walk-off losses. So when it gets to be crunch time, you need someone in that lineup or a couple guys in that lineup to show up and stand up and deliver. And, you know, I still don't know what's going on with Anthony Rizzo. And Joe tried to answer that question, but basically said, if it's mechanical, go ask Anthony. But he didn't really volunteer a reason as to why he's in the longest slump of his career. And by the way, he's in the longest slump of his career.
Yeah, I don't know what a James Norwood is or what that looks like. But other than that, I think the Cubs bullpen was pretty solid yesterday when you go up and down the line. You know, whether it is kind of the more unexpected guys like a Rosario or a Farrell, like we mentioned, that you didn't expect to be up here contributing as well as they have. It's good to see that continuing. And then the usual suspects like Pedro Strop, Brandon Morrow.
Justin, call him Stropey.
Stropey. I mean, I don't know him like that.
Shieldsy.
Wilsey.
You're a nicknamey kind of guy.
Am I, though? Yeah. I don't think that
you're
I am.
You're a nicknamey kind of guy.
No. E. Guy no. E.
Shieldsy.
I don't like to...
Shieldsy, just that one. Yeah. No.
Really?
I don't like to hand up
Shieldsy?
Nicknames like
yeah?
that.
Well, that's what it is?
Well, that's for... No. Huh. No.
James Shields pitches for the White Sox. That's what we're referring to
I know,
here.
But I don't and like who did, the... I thought you do a baseball show.
When Rick Renteria was on with us, he kept referring to Rhino. And the first time I let it go, by the third Rhino reference in 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, there's only one Rhino in town, and he's not on the South Side.
I think in another city you might be able to get away with that. Probably not Chicago, though, giving a new Rhino. I think he was referring to Ryan Cordell.
Of course
the minor league outfielder.
I bet you didn't
been injured
know,
a lot this
I,
year.
I bet you didn't know Ryan Stanek, whose first name is spelled precisely like the Hall of Famers, pitched for Jared Sandberg, Ryan Sandberg's nephew, in the Tampa minor league system. I bet you didn't know that. Apropos of... Absolutely nothing.
Will that
but
get you a drink at a bar? What,
no,
is that
but it's,
some
five,
sort of...
it's 5:28. Who cares? I just thought I'd...
Feels like 3:28.
I haven't had a cocktail.
Look, anytime you have Chris Bryant coming back from the DL and hitting a home run, I mean, that's number one on the list, of course. So that's great. And yeah, like Barry said, it was great to see Mike Montgomery recover after a rough first inning and a rough couple of outings prior to yesterday. And a mix of good and bad, of course, is, yeah, the bullpen was great, as it's been all season. Wonderful. But the scary part of that is, you know, that this cannot be sustained. This bullpen cannot continue to carry this team like this. And hopefully, you know, hopefully the guys in the front office make some kind of change to aid this starting rotation, because the second half can't go on like
this.
We'll
play a little Jed Hoyer in just a little bit from his visit with the midday show yesterday. And
is that a game? We're going to play?
Play a little Jed Hoyer? Yeah.
Is that like a radio game you guys play, the Jed
Hoyer
game?
It's a card game.
Yeah.
It's a card game. Mm-hmm. What are the rules?
Oh, you'll find out. That's a tease.
How much money do you have in your pocket? We'll tell you the rules after we say how much you're carrying.
Well, you guys have taken all my answers, but I'm going to go with Jason Hayward. First home run in 10 games. He's going to have to be a mainstay in this lineup, you know, providing some
offense.
So now
we're counting on him for power?
Not power, but just production.
Boy.
Without Rizzo's production, with his struggles, Jason Hayward's starting to step it up. He's been stepping up all year, but just showing some pop in the bat. Only 6 home runs, on pace for about 11 overall this year. But I think Hayward's showing some power, also the bullpen. Like you guys were saying, Randy Rosario, another solid outing. If you can count on him.
Well, Chris Bryant had home run number 10 yesterday, right?
Yes.
Is he going to see 20, 23, 24 by the time it's all said and done?
You would think so.
Well, there's no game
the
tonight,
DL.
So let's save that question for tomorrow. That can get us through.
Wow, you were right back in work mode, aren't you? Yeah, all right.
How about write down a Rizzo question for tomorrow?
We stink.
No, Barry.
No? No, Eli?
No.
Why not?
Just because it's you.
Oh.
Seems impolite. The longest the Cubs have been in first place this season is 6 days. Are you taking the over or the under for the rest of the season?
Well, a texter here says the Cubs are a wild card team, so he's taking neither. He's taking as well as they're playing, or at least the winning that they've been doing the last couple weeks, there's now 2 games back of the Brewers. Now, the probability is they're 94-95% probable playoff team, including the wild card opportunity, and the Brewers are only 74-75%. So the thing should even out. The order should be restored. The Cubs should get into first place sometime quickly after the All-Star break. But I've been saying that for a few weeks, and there's still a couple games back of the Brewers. And every day someone's got a report that the Brewers are getting Machado, DeGrom, and any other, you know, marquee player you can think of. They're just going to load up at the trade deadline. I'm going to take the under. I think this one's going to be a little more difficult than most people perceive it to be. And even though I keep assuming, I keep thinking the Cubs are in first place, in actuality, they're not. So I will take the under. I just hope it's the last week of the season. I hope that's when it matters. They're sitting up atop the division.
I'm going to take the over, and it's based largely on how bad the Brewers' rotation is. I mean, it's dreadful. They need a handful of starters. I don't know where they're going to get them. We have been talking about the Cubs rotation for a long time now. At least with the Cubs rotation, though, you have several guys there who have proven in the past, some of them for very long periods of time, that they are really good. And when Theo called everybody out a few days ago, however many days ago it is now, and said, do your job. Just do your job. There's no cavalry coming. Go do, you know, you guys are getting paid a lot, or we traded a lot of prospects to get you. Go do your job. Because there's no answers out there. And you got to like their answers better than any.
Do your job.
Thank you. You got to like their answers or prospective answers better than any prospective answers the Brewers are going to find. Either
what if they get DeGrom and Syndergaard?
Well,
and Machado.
All three of them?
Yeah, Machado, he can throw in a blowout.
Then I have the right to reserve my pick here. But, yeah, they can get Manny Machado. That's fine. That doesn't solve their pitching problems. That's as ridiculous a conversation as was anyone thinking that the Cubs were going to get Manny Machado earlier in the season. That was absurd. I'm not saying it's absurd for the Brewers to get him because he would help the Brewers.
Sure.
But the Brewers
need
have a huge need in the starting rotation.
They need Shieldsy.
Yes. Shieldsy, really? That's a thing, Shieldsy?
Yeah.
Of course.
Rick Renteria called him Shieldsy the other day. Yeah. Shieldsy.
I don't care for it.
I'm not. It doesn't work for me. And I don't care for him being traded to the Cubs. Trade him to the Brewers.
Hey, he's an innings eater, that Shieldsy.
Now I feel like for the next 2 to 8 to 9 days, this is going to be a thing.
Excuse me, I'm going to have to scratch myself. We're getting too baseball-y.
We're getting real baseball-y here.
Yeah.
Take that dip out of your mouth, Eli.
Yeah.
The longest the Cubs have been in first place, 6 days.
Wait, what?
Chewing tobacco.
Chaw.
You're disgusting, Eli. Chaw. You're disgusting.
Yeah, you're gross.
It's a one-time thing.
I heard something.
He's spitting all over the floor.
I know.
It's everywhere. I'm going to take the over. I think, you know, there's only so many times you can say track record with this Cubs starting rotation, and you're almost kind of just waiting for it to happen, and at some point I feel like it still will happen. Kyle Hendricks and Jose Quintana will be better in the second half than they were in the first half. But
they
then,
just each had a good one the last 2 days,
that's a good start for it. Quintana in particular, I think, has shown a little bit more improvement over the past month or so. But if you want to go that route and say guys that struggled in the first half will be better in the second half, you could also go glass half empty and say guys that had a great first half will not be as good in the second half. You even heard Jed Hoyer allude to that a little bit yesterday when he was on the station. So, you know, I don't have any faith in the Brewers rotation whatsoever. And I think that their bullpen is almost as worn down as the Cubs is. So I just think talent wise, the Cubs will rise back to the top of this thing and they will be in first place again for more than 6 days.
You know, Kevin makes a good point, which is
once in a while, I have one.
I would say pretty unusual, but in this case, a really good point, and that's that, you know, they talk about the big three in Milwaukee at the end of their games. Well, those guys have thrown a lot.
Yeah.
And
Hader showed it the other day.
It's, you know, it's within the realm that those guys are going to get tired too. So that's
How many more Cub Brewer tilts do we have left? Six?
I don't know. Eli knows that off the top of your head, right, Eli?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fine producer. On Hit and Run, Sunday mornings, 9 to noon, although usually 12:45, sometimes 11:30 and occasionally noon, but usually 12:45.
Sometimes the Z experience runs over time.
Hit and Runny?
Hopefully not.
Hit and Runny, yeah. Oh, boy, that just sounds awful.
It's as bad as Shieldsy.
That just sounds like people having breakfast or stopping cold right now. Go ahead.
I'm taking the under because the Cubs have done nothing to prove otherwise. So I'm taking the under, definitely. I mean, and I think it's less about the Brewers' bad rotation and more about, I feel like it's the Cubs beating themselves so far this season with just the inconsistent rotation. As Kevin just brought up, it's going to be all about what can Quintana and Hendricks do in the second half of the season. And what's you going to bring once he gets off the DL? That's the big question. And hopefully,
Even know if he is.
See, you don't ever know if he is.
You know, that's the thing.
For
When we sit here and talk about the rotation, he's almost an afterthought for me. And shame on me maybe for not. Well,
I don't think so.
He hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt whatsoever.
I'm starting
to think
I'm going to see Drew Smyly before I'm going to see Yu Darvish. Is that wrong?
I think that's possible.
Yeah.
I think that's a coin flip.
Yeah. And you know, does that give you a solace? I don't know that it does.
I mean, that's going to be when the retrospective on the 2018 season is done. That's going to be it. I mean, Mully brought this up earlier in the week. The Cubs thought they fixed their rotation problems with Chatwood and Darvish.
Yeah.
And it's still here, heading into the All-Star break, the biggest bugaboo for them.
By the way, 8 games left between the Cubs and the Brewers this season.
I told you Eli would know that. And I don't think he just went and looked at it.
I have it here as well.
Can you confirm?
I kind of let Eli have that one. Right. It's like when you're on a fast break and you just kind of dump it back to the guy behind you for him to get
that,
the easy
throw
bucket.
It off the backboard. Do you think Eli could dunk?
Try to get him on the board.
There's no I in team. There's a Z in team, though. Z is just
ZZ in team.
So Eli knew that, though. Eli didn't even have to look it up, right, Eli?
Sure.
Okay, let's say that.
Also, the real field temp in Niagara Falls is 59 degrees. So there's that, Barry.
Did that just pop up on the same page?
On weather.com. Yeah.
Okay. Don't tell me that Niagara Falls is on that computer.
It is.
Come on.
I'm going to blame Kevin Zpac for that.
Is that a Zpac?
I don't use that computer.
That it's dusted.
Thank you.
But
he's gone to Niagara
usually
Falls.
Usually it's D.C.
Over the barrel.
Yeah. It's part of a shtick.
Yeah,
without the barrel.
Well,
stop interrupting me, Barry, please. I'm going to say over on this one, over 6 for
Kevin
the Cubs.
Kevin did too, and so did Brian.
I said under.
It's 3-2, guys. I expect
you guys
Quintana
interrupted him before I did.
Oh, I got you.
I expect
I would
Quintana
never interrupt
wow,
DUI.
This is just this is killer right now. Yeah. I expect Quintana.
It's why would you interrupt
it's
a guy
rude,
like that?
And it's poor radio etiquette.
That's right.
Is what it is.
Don't talk over him either. Go ahead, Eli.
I expect.
You know, if you want to talk
really
over
bad,
again,
appropriate to do that.
Talking.
Yeah. To a
I'm
guy
just
going like
to keep saying Eli. The real field tab.
Get on with it, Eli.
Yeah. Eli. E-I-O.
Right.
Easy E.
I expect Quintana. That was one of my nicknames back in high school.
Oh, Easy E. That's E-Z-E. Great.
All right.
Quintana.
That fits.
That was your nickname?
Just fits.
Seriously,
perfect.
Really?
Easy E. Also one of them as well.
Okay, how did I mean? I know
your
the
best friend Dre.
I know the name, but I mean, were you Eazy-E? Was that
no,
your game?
I have
the
no,
game
I have
you
no,
ran?
I,
no,
I have no idea where it came
Big
from.
Big Easy,
just one of those things, man. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna say over on the 6, I'd expect Quintana to pitch a lot better in the second half. Hendricks, obviously, a nice bounce back earlier in the week. And when Darvish is healthy, assuming he's able to pick it back up too, the big question is, though, like you guys mentioned, is Milwaukee gonna get Syndergaard? Or DeGrom,
no,
and if
both.
They do.
And Zach Wheeler.
Or both. Or along with James Shields.
And Matt Harvey. They're getting the band back together.
they're getting the New York Mets pitching staff.
You know, Matt Harvey's been really good.
I know. How about that? You know, why? Not much to do in Cincinnati. You have to go over to Kentucky.
Chicago open later than Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So maybe not such
but
a
But Matt
idea.
Harvey, you know, it's not as easy just rolling out of your condo down in Manhattan and finding trouble. You'd have to look for it in Cincinnati.
Remember when we used to go across the river? That's actually dangerous.
Only part I remember is going across the river. The one night we stayed at the hotel and Sid Thrift was telling the stories, right? Was it Sid? He was just telling us baseball stories and we're like, maybe we should go across the river.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a hockey game on somewhere.
Was
that Cincinnati? It feels like, that was Pittsburgh.
No, it was the Hilton in Cincinnati.
Oh, that awful! Yeah, that was not
that the bar in the Hilton, and you know, after about 10 baseball stories from Sid, I'm thinking the river.
Yeah, maybe we should see if there's
just
a West Coast hockey game on.
Yes, two bowls of the Skyline chili, and you're
no, ready. We yeah, never no? did that. Okay. And I don't think I've ever had Skyline chili. Then we got up and ran the next morning, like 6 miles. I don't know why we just did. Monkey, yeah, we are.
What would you rather do than watch Tyler Chatwood pitch Friday night?
You know, I struggled with this one because the first things that came to mind were having both of my pinky toes run over by an accordion bus. And at the same time thinking...
Why an accordion bus? Because it would take twice as long?
Just a long time. Now, all those tires take a long time. Yeah. Really, a lot of pain, repeated pain. And then there's the watching on DVR a Bears-Cleveland exhibition game from the fourth week of the preseason.
Sure.
What year?
The fourth week.
They play like every single year.
Doesn't matter. They're all exactly the same. They're always the fourth preseason game.
You get the bonus preseason game this year because of the Hall of Fame game.
That's great.
You sure you want to listen to Sam Rosen?
No, he's fired.
But in the past,
there's a lot of that
checking
going on.
Out some replays.
Well, that's what I'm saying is it's tough. These are tough calls. So those are the first things that popped into my mind.
I'm going to watch tomorrow night because he actually pitches well at Petco. So if he can't, he's four.
Well, it's the size of the Grand Canyon.
I understand.
Everybody pitches well at
Petco. Okay, so that's to my point. He's 4-1 there with a 2.84 ERA, career ERA, Petco. If he can't get it done there and he still looks like Tyler Chatwood of this vintage 2018, even Len Casper told us yesterday, basically, he didn't say make or break, but he said if Tyler Chatwood looks like Tyler Chatwood again tomorrow night, they might have to completely figure out, like, you know, the DL, the Des Moines trip, both at the same time, whatever, and break him down and start over. I mean, you know, because Jim Hickey...
Well, it'll have to be DL because he has no options.
Send
him to
but
Iowa.
You're gonna have to break this thing down because Jim Hickey said he's unique, right? He's never seen a pitcher with those kind of mechanics taking the ball out of his glove. So when he can't repeat them, it's tough for the pitching coach who's never seen it before to figure out how to correct it.
But he's close, Brian. He's close. I know he's getting close because they keep saying he's getting close.
Okay, but to hear Len Casper offer up that you might have to decide like a big picture type direction with him, bullpen, or we're going to, like a golf coach, break it down and start over and rebuild him as a starter, and that will take some time. And, you know, good luck. We'll see you however long it takes. 3 weeks?
3 years?
Well, he's here for that. Long,
yeah, I mean,
right?
Swing changes, delivery changes. What? Yeah. The delivery change. But that's not an easy thing to do in season. And if you're hearing that on the Cubs broadcast, which is usually a lot of sunshine and lollipops and skipping rocks usually. So that if you're hearing that, then he got
booed off the mound Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Now it's one of those things where when the crowd at Wrigley is waiting for you to fail so they can get up on their feet and boo you, I mean, you're on a short list of
cheered Joe when he came out of the dugout.
That's what I'm saying. You're on a short list. Now, and it's not only between the ears, it's like not maybe you're expecting things to go south and go south quickly, bouncing balls into the plate on the first pitch and a couple wild pitches and a couple runs scored and not just the walks an issue anymore. So, I mean, maybe out of sight, out of mind for a few weeks is about the only route you can go. But if I was not going to watch the Tyler Chatwood experience, binge-watching the one episode of Very Cavallari over and over and over again.
Oh, my God. Did you guys talk about that? I missed it because I was on vacation, but I...
You have a DVR'd, right?
No, I work at the Score as a producer, so I can't afford that.
Well, not only that, the one here didn't record, right?
Ah, that's so very we had to go, scory as yeah, well.
So we had to go online and get a bunch of the drops because it was set to record. And the Motorola, VHS,
the guy in charge of spinning the wheel fell asleep when he was supposed to be.
Yeah, it didn't work. So.
Okay.
Shocking,
well,
I know.
Yeah, that's usually...
Do you guys want to borrow my Betamax? I have a working Betamax.
Do you?
Yeah, for real.
For all of the reasons that you guys mentioned regarding...
Well, I haven't used it in 20 years.
So that's right.
But last I know...
It worked?
It was still working. Oh. And the power goes on.
Hook it up to my Zenith.
For all of the trials and tribulations of Tyler Chatwood this season, that's why I like watching him pitch, actually. He's my favorite Cubs starter to watch pitch because
you hate the Cubs.
No, I don't. I love to watch him squirm, and I love to hear all of the posturing and, you know, oh, he's close.
Why just watch Giolito for that?
Yeah, I watch him, too. Although it's a different feeling when I'm watching him. Yeah. I don't know that I will be watching this Cubs game tomorrow night, but...
Well, it's a Friday night. You'll be drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean I can't watch the game. I can be drunk and watch the game.
You're Big Z, Big Z, Easy. You'll be running your game, right?
You'll be with Easy E running, running.
Probably not.
With,
I'm guessing
Big
that's
Z,
not
right.
It.
Yeah, no.
I'm just gonna pass the baton here.
You going to the baton?
That's it. You didn't finish your thought. Would you finish your thought, please? No.
Nope.
That's too much
boy,
for
just
you.
Just like Dustin, someone starts cutting you off, and you just shut down.
We're not going to hear from him again now.
No.
You guys want to talk World Cup?
No.
Okay.
What do you know about it?
Hashtag anybody but Chatwood.
You didn't even tell us, Kevin, what you would do instead.
What I would do instead of watching.
Yeah, what would you rather do?
Watch England in the final.
Well, England lost.
Oh, did they?
In the final's not till Sunday.
Oh,
so,
okay.
What would I rather do? I don't know. Eat pizza.
Okay, yeah, you go ahead and pass. Just go ahead and pass.
I tried.
Go ahead, Ray. Go ahead.
All right, if I want to try and be funny, maybe watch a Bears game with Mike Glennon at quarterback. I'd rather get punched in the face by Bobby Portis. Than, if I want to be honest, I'd rather drink. But
well,
as Kevin said, that's a multitask.
Self-medicate.
Are you going out with
Big Z and Easy E?
He can't.
Night?
No, he can't. He just got engaged.
They're running the streets.
He got engaged.
Night.
He's got a honey-do list.
That doesn't mean he's not.
Engaged now? Did I miss that?
Did you miss
that? Yes, that's the big news.
Why would you do that when I was gone? That's really self-centered of you.
Yeah.
Sorry. I should have waited for Kevin's schedule.
Jerk.
Wait till he got back.
Thought you guys were close.
Do you have a date? I don't mean like, do you have a date?
No,
I mean,
he can't. He's engaged.
I mean, have you set a date?
May next year. Date to be determined.
Very invited?
No.
I'm busy.
Make sure you plan it out so it ends up on a Tyler Chatwood day.
Absolutely. That's what I'm going for.
Things you'd rather do.
Go to Ray's wedding.
Yeah, I'm going to say watch Bull Durham with Barry. I would rather do that than watch a Tyler Chatwood
actually
start.
Funny. That's funny. Eli made it funny.
You're not a Bull Durham
fan? First
time
in 2 years. No, I love Bull Durham. Oh. It's just dripping with irony.
Yeah.
Candlesticks
make a nice gift.
We had Robert on the show.
Yeah,
Arliss
weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how's that? Arliss binge watch Arliss.
Oh,
is your faith restored in Carlos Rodon? And if some team calls about him, should the White Sox listen?
I never lost faith in Carlos Rodon. I don't judge young players based on small samples. I thought the best of Carlos Rodon was still absolutely available to the White Sox. I always thought he had ace potential. I also will not judge him based on last night, which was extraordinary. I mean, that was really, really good last night. But I hadn't lost faith and Carlos Rodon, and if somebody called about him, I would hang up on them. First, I would curse at them, and then I would hang up on them.
I would think someone's probably going to call on him, right, just to see.
Really? Someone would think he might be available?
Well, who's out there? I mean, you know.
Shieldy.
No, I mean, yeah, it, look, if DeGrom, if DeGrom like, is not dealt.
That's
and,
like shrinkage. Just the, keep saying
if, it. If the Mets aren't going to deal one of their top two guys, Garrett Richards came up with an elbow yesterday, right? So
he's gone.
Yeah, so scratch him. And there were plenty of questions about him going in because of the injury. So there, I mean, is Eovaldi? Is there a change? A guy who's going to be substantially make your rotation substantially different?
No, unless somebody becomes available that we're unaware of as of right now.
Right.
No, there's not a single name. I mean, Jacob DeGrom is the
How
name.
How many more years does Rodon have? Are you controlled for another couple of years?
Oh, yeah.
Drafted in 14, so he got two more years after
no,
this?
No, he's, I mean, service time, I'll look that up for you.
Right.
I bet you he's got three
But
or
between
four,
the injuries and you know, not being available and everything else, but, you know, Rick Hahn should listen to anything. If his phone rings, he should pick it up and listen. And if it's a short conversation, it's a short conversation. But it would take a lot for them to say, okay, we're moving on from Carlos Rodon or – you know, is there a team out there that's really going to wow you with something for a guy who's had injury history and three more years?
Yeah, they got three more after this year.
Okay.
So
that would take a lot to.
Yeah, I mean, you make a fair point. You should listen to anyone and anything, but he could be the cornerstone or one of them of a really good rotation.
Well, I mean, hopefully he's an ace, right? I mean, he was drafted second overall or whatever.
You have 3 or 4 or 5 possibilities.
Third overall. That, I mean, you're usually drafting, you're hoping you're drafting an ace when you take a guy third overall.
Yeah, that's what the Astros thought with Mark Appel too. You have the potential for 3 or 4 or 5 guys in this system, including Rodon, who could be aces.
Could be not much.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Could be something, could be nothing. But in this instance, from everything we've seen from Carlos Rodon, when he is healthy, you always have to put that caveat on there. When he is healthy, though, and he's right, you can see the stuff. It's so clear that he's incredibly talented, and he's got this kind of, I don't even know how to put it, he's got kind of this ace swagger to him where he's out there.
You know, he does that now. See, you know, in the postgame last night, I was watching.
It's kind of new, right?
It is new.
Yeah.
Because when he first arrived on the scene, and we were down in Glendale, and we were talking to him, he wasn't shy necessarily, but he was very quiet. Okay,
right.
And a lot of rookies are. It's no big deal. But the fact that he basically came out and said, with the injury, he decided to, I paraphrase it, rededicate himself and get in shape. And he always had a little puffy to him, right?
Yeah.
And now he looks like he's got himself in shape.
He looks like just a big, strong dude out there.
And then last night he said, you know, before when I pitched against this team, I didn't get, I, you know, if I had that, I had some issues, I wouldn't get out of the first inning. I wouldn't get out of an inning. And now he's thinking. Now he's remembering. Now he's putting two and two together. And
it's part of the process.
But the swagger, there is a confidence there. Like, you know, I am supposed to be that guy.
He wants to be the guy.
Right. He wants to be the guy. Before you weren't sure, you thought, okay, you know.
Yeah, the way he answered the DeGrom Scherzer question was really interesting, because that can go really bad for you if you're a young guy who hasn't done anything in the game, and somebody asks you a question like that, like, you think you could be one of those guys? You think you could be elite? And he basically said, well, if you don't, what are you doing here? Which is a really good answer.
How about this, Texter? Closest Rodon will ever come to becoming an ace is the helpful hardware man. See that just means spirited.
It's rude. It's impolite to do that on my first day back from vacation.
That's very
They're
funny.
Taking shots at Big Carlos.
Is that still a thing? Is ace still in business?
Absolutely. Get yourself a Weber grill over there.
Or a Traeger.
Yeah. John Danks all over again. There's another Texter. Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, John Danks got hurt.
Yeah.
So did the guy up on his roof.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a pap smear. That was the guy's name.
Barry, to answer the question.
That was the guy's name. What do you want from me?
I didn't need to restore my faith because it never wavered. And Carlos Rodon, if he's healthy, he's going to be great. And if some team calls, they should tell them to kick rocks. Push kick, sand.
Kick rocks and push sand. Is it a pound?
I thought it was eat rocks.
Pop rocks.
Pound rocks?
I don't know.
Pound sand.
Are you allowed to say that, or did you just get a day off tomorrow?
I'd love a day off tomorrow.
What do I have to say?
It's
hello?
Hard.
I've got a few
you
suggestions.
You had me at hello.
I've got a few suggestions.
It's also hard for me to say I lost faith in Carlos Rodon because of the circumstances. I mean, a young guy injured. So, but you didn't know what you were going to get from Carlos Rodon coming back from injury. And it's been great to see the progression. Every start has been better. So I think that's awesome. It's become, I mean, I'm not the biggest Sox fan by any means, but it's kind of become a little bit of appointment television for me, because I do like the rebound story to see a guy come up from an injury and become successful. So it's just great to see. And the Sox should absolutely hang up the phone if somebody asks about Carlos Rodon, because, yeah, here's a guy who's shaping up to be a part of your future and your rotation.
Yeah, and how about this? Over his last two starts, the only runs he's given up was the Altuve home run last week. So he's been pretty dominant, you know, over his last two starts. I think it's 15 innings, 13 innings, something like that, with just those 2 earned runs. And he also has the most strikeouts by a Sox pitcher in his first 72 games. And John Danks, speaking of John Danks, is third on that list. So, you know, 411 strikeouts and 409 in the third innings pitched. I'm impressed with him.
Texter said John Danks won the blackout game, and that was also being played up on the roof.
So that means this year, the 10-year anniversary of the White Sox are going to win a blackout game started by Carlos Rodon.
Just keep everybody off Carlos Rodon's roof, and we'll all be fine.
That's right.
Get off Carlos Rodon's jock.
When it comes to Wendell Carter Jr.'s performance, which camp are you in? A, it's pleasantly surprising. B, it's very impressive. Or C, it's just summer league.
Well, you know, again, I'm glad Dustin's not here because
me too, because I'm wearing sweatpants.
His favorite analyst, Doris Burke, said the other day that he's been the most impressive of the NBA Summer League. It is just Summer League, but guess what? It's all the above. It's pleasantly surprising. The offense, I guess I'm going to start buying the narrative that that he was subjugating his game for Bagley down at Duke, and he's got tools, and he's got a nice turnaround jumper. He can shoot from distance. He got a little touch on the floater. He knows when to pass the ball, and the maturity looks there for a 19-year-old. He looks like he belongs. So I know it's just Summer League. I think Doug McDermott, there's a plaque in the Summer League Hall of Fame for him.
Yeah.
A Dougie McBucket. So I get that, you know, the guys who flash in the first couple weeks of their NBA career, just that's pretty much the highlight reel. But I'm glad. I'm very happy. And I'm also watching, to see if Hutchinson was also, he's done pretty well for himself as well. And
really good last night.
Colin Sexton. Hutchie. Is the guy you have to watch and kind of compare and contrast because he was available and apparently the Bulls were deciding between the two and you end up with Carter Jr.
I'm going to pick A, B, and C. I am pleasantly surprised. It has been at times very impressive, and of course it is just the Summer League. But nevertheless, where was this post move during his,
smooth.
During any point of last season?
Well, Wendell, we've got to get the ball to Marvin Bagley, so you're not allowed to show off those posts.
But I can't do it as well as Dan.
Dude,
That's pretty good.
So then you have to give the credit to John Paxson because he said this. He said it that night and the next day. There's a post move there.
Yeah.
There's offense locked up in this guy that you just never got to see because it's Duke and all the Dukey reasons for that. But nice pick and roll game, nice pick and roll defense.
Yeah.
He can, if someone tries to drag him outside, he can defend outside. He's shooting the three. It's very entertaining. Let's put it that way.
It really is.
This has been very entertaining, but it's also always, always important to include.
Sacramento just put an offer sheet in on it.
It's always important to include C. It's just Summer League.
Yeah, all three, all of the above. You do see a lot of the fundamentally sound part of his game. Obviously, he's a big kid, maybe a little bit of a better athlete than some people gave him credit for. But, yeah, it's been fun to watch. You know, with the NBA craziness every summer now, I feel like my appetite is being wet for basketball even earlier than usual. And now here we are in the middle of July, and I want the NBA season to start already just because of the Summer League, and I'm a total mark for crap.
We
like
have
that.
A texter says my answer is D. Who cares? It's the Bulls. See, again, that was not one of the options it's available.
You can't go off the script like that.
No.
See, I'm going to go off script as well and go with option E, which is the combination of B and C. It's impressive, yeah, but it's Summer League, so I'm not going to put any stock into it until I see what he can do in the regular season.
I'm impressed. I'm just going with B. He would have been a top four pick if Bagley didn't reclassify at Duke. He leads all bigs in summer league action in points per game, blocks per game, and the steals, too, defensively. He switched on to Trae Young on the perimeter and was able to defend him. People always talked about how he can't defend guards, he can't switch, and that's the modern NBA. To see a big dude that is extremely impressive.
All right, that's our 5 at 5. What do you think? 312-644-6767 is the number. Tech zone already very busy. We love your text. 670-11-67011. You got Molly and Hanley with Barry Rosner sitting in for Mike on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.